Olympic runner by the name of Bernard Lagat from the country of Kenya. If any of you know about running, you know that Kenyans are awesome at running. It's just, well, you'll maybe hear why in just a moment. He was being interviewed and was asked why so many from his country were world-class runners. So, Mr. Lagat, why is it that so many Kenyans run so fast? Why is it that you're seemingly on all of these races, you're either right in the you're right at the finish line or right near the finish line of first, second, or something like that? And Mr. Lagat paused briefly and suggested this. It might have something to do in the with the road signs in our country. Beware of lions. Beware of lions. True story. You'd run fast too, wouldn't you? And the key is this. If you're ever being chased by a lion and have somebody else with you that you're faster than. Think about that one for a while too. As long as you can outrun that person, you're okay. In all seriousness, though, we too have a lion that is chasing us down. You might be on your way to heaven today, as we sang a moment ago, that we're on our way to heaven, and we're looking forward to that, but that doesn't put any fear into our enemy, the devil. We have a lion. We have an enemy who is chasing us down. We too have a lion that is seeking to devour. We too have a lion that is trying to influence us to get out of the race. It is exactly what is happening here in Galatians to these Christians. We'll talk about it in detail in a few moments, but what's happened is these Judaizers are coming in. These are some new Christians. They have been delivered from this thinking, anti-biblical thinking that to be saved, you must keep the law. That is nowhere in the Word of God. The only way to be saved is by grace through faith. And they have been saved that way, but now these false teachers are coming in and they're trying to get them to live their life by the law, and that doesn't work either. Not only am I saved by the grace of God, but I live my life by the grace of God. We have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 describes our enemy. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I submit to you today that the lion of the day, the lion of our enemy, the lion that the Bible mentions, is alive and he's hungry. He's trying to get us to get out of the race. It is so vitally important that we stay in the race. I have been given a race. While I'm not in track and field in any way, shape, or form, I have a shape, but it is not for running these days. But we've been given a race. My life is my race. Your life is your race. How many laps do you have left? How many laps do I have left? What's coming in my life? What's coming in your life? I don't know the answers to all these things, but I know this. I know the enemy is real. I know the enemy could care less about you. I know the enemy hates God. The enemy hates Jesus Christ. The enemy hates the Word of God. And he wants everyone here within a year to be out of the race. One thing I don't like about Facebook is seeing pictures come up from 7 and 8 years ago. This is in all seriousness. Because some of the pictures I see are representative of people that were sitting in church, and I have no idea if they're in church today. My friends, they got out of the race. Somehow, some way, the enemy got them out of the race. And God would like, or the devil would like nothing more than to add to his casualty belt. Don't think that you are immune, and don't think that we are so spiritually equipped that the devil's just going to sniff us and say, "Well, I can't handle that one." No, it's not what the devil and how the devil thinks. The life that I have been given is a personal race. I like what Paul said in another text. He said, "I have finished my course." I'm glad this afternoon that each and every one of us here, we have a course. We have a life. And our race is we have the ability through God's help to finish our course with joy. We have the ability to finish our course on top side. We have the ability to finish our course a living for God and doing things that are right. And we come to a text of Scripture here where Paul is greatly concerned about that. He's noticing some of them are not in the race. He mentions that. Today, I am not running your race and you are not running mine. We're on an individual course. However, we are a part of the body of Christ if we're saved. We are family, amen? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And while we always don't get along with brothers, and while we always don't get along with sisters in the physical sense, and definitely in the spiritual sense, it's that way too. We're on the same team, and we need to continue to encourage people, stay in the race. We need to continue to encourage this next generation, stay in the race. We must stay in the race. In this passage, the Apostle Paul reminds the Galatians of the importance of staying in the race. Let's look at several things by way of an outline. Number one, I believe he points out some hindrances to spiritual growth. Hindrances to spiritual growth. There were at least two problems that were hindering the growth of the Galatian Christians. Let me just stop right here and say, if you are saved here this afternoon, you ought to be praying every day this prayer. God, help me today to grow in grace. God, help me today to grow in my walk with you. God, help me today to stay in the race. Stay in the race. I know it's hot. I know it's hot today. Stay with me. Stay in the race. The numbers tell us that in 1 year's time, not everybody in this room will be in the race. You say, that's pretty negative. No, that's just realism. That's what the numbers tell us. Folks, don't be a statistic. Don't be a statistic. Pastor Turner, don't be a statistic. Church family, don't be a statistic. Let us stay in the race for the honor and glory of God. And Paul's pointing out something to these Christians, but it's also applicable to us today. Here are two things that he points out. Letter A, he points out different people. Look at verses 6 and 7. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who? Notice that word who. Talking about people. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? These Judaizers that we've been talking about were coming in and trying to persuade the Galatian believers that they had to follow the law, including circumcision. Paul counters this teaching with that statement in the end of verse 6, which we covered last week, but faith which worketh by love. Notice, if you will, it's kind of a little bit of a review to get started here, but that word worketh, the word worketh there, means to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power. In other words, here we go. The Christian life must be lived by faith and motivated by love in the power of God. If you're going to stay in the race, you cannot get up every morning and neglect the Word of God. You will not have the power to stay in the race for that day. We cannot get up in the morning and go out into this wild, wicked world and not have time with a holy God and expect to stay in the race. There's nobody here that is a super Christian enough to neglect the Word of God and neglect prayer and not stay in the race. We'll leave the race just like that. Most people you can ask that are away from God, you can ask them a couple of questions. The first question you can ask them is this: do you read your Bible every day? And you know what the answer is in most cases? The answer is, no, I don't. When's the last time you spent time in prayer? I don't pray. It's a simple formula. Do you want to be out of the race? Stop reading your Bible and stop praying, and you'll be out of the race. Folks, God's given us the tools. God's given us the equipment. God's given us the means to stay in the race. The power of the Christian life comes by faith. Notice the question that Paul asked in verse 2. I mentioned it earlier. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? He said, at one time you were running. That word run there means of those who run in a race course, to exert oneself, to strive hard. This is the picture that I get in my mind when I read this verse. Paul is talking to a group of Galatians that got saved. Praise the Lord for salvation. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. Okay, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. Praise God for salvation. Salvation is of nothing of you and everything of God. But the Christian life, now that's a different story. Can't live the Christian life because I'm saved. I'm just going to live the Christian life and I'm going to be successful at this thing. No, there's no such thing. I must live the Christian life in the power of God. And the power of God does not come to my life if I'm living in sin. The power of God is not going to flow through me if my vessel isn't right. Notice Paul said, ye did run well. This is what I see. I see a group of Christians. They got saved. They got on fire for God. They were exerting themselves. You think about people that run races. There's a lot of preparation that goes into running one race. I have several friends that I follow on social media that I went to college with, and they're doing these like marathons now. Half marathons, quarter marathons. And so I'm thinking, praise the Lord, it's you and not me. No, that'd be kind of neat. But I mean, we're talking 6 months to a year of preparation. You don't just get up one morning and say, I'm going to run a marathon today. I think that'd be a great idea. No, there's a lot of work to it. There's a lot of preparation to it. Ladies and gentlemen, getting saved for you, quite frankly, getting saved is very simple. Now, it's not very easy sometimes for people to get saved because they're full of pride. So we got to be careful. We could say salvation is easy, but sometimes it's not very easy for people. Because we're all filled with pride, but it's simple for us. It is God's simple plan of salvation. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, born of the Virgin Mary. He was sent as the sacrifice for you and for me that we might be saved. And he died and was buried and he rose again. And we can have new life through Christ. That is a simple transaction. It was very costly for God, but very simple for us. But the Christian life is just like getting ready for a race. We cannot just jump into the Christian life and say, okay, I'm going to battle the devil today. Just like somebody getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to run a marathon today. No, that's why we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. That's why this book needs to be a very intimate part of our life. By the way, dads, your children need to see you read this book right here and not just to put on a show. They need to know that dad is a man of the Bible. They need to know that dad is a man of this book and that dad is a man of honesty and purity and holiness and all that for all of us here today. But notice again that word run, striving hard. Living the Christian life takes dedication. Living the Christian life takes work. But by the way, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. There's freedom in Christ. We've been set free. Notice that word run, to exert oneself. Here we see a group of people that got saved. They got pulled out of Judaism. They're headed the right direction. They're exerting themselves. They're applying themselves. They're doing wonderfully. They're doing well. They're a new Christian. There's zeal there, and they're beginning to take in knowledge, and they're beginning to learn things. Maybe they made it through discipleship, and they're continuing to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they were running their race to the glory of God. And I would submit to you that everyone that quit the race was at this place at one time. They were running. Notice he says, ye did run well. You were going the right way. You had a good pace. It was one step in front of the other, and maybe there was a couple steps back, but then you recognize that and you continue to go on for the Lord. And we've all been there. There's no one that just wakes up one day and says, I'm out of the race. No. It's a slow progression of leaving. Where are you at today? You say, I'm at church. No, where are you at? Are you almost off the track? You must stay in the race. Are you just about to turn and go? No, you must stay in the race. God saved you. God saved me. Honor him, to glorify him. Prior to these false teachers coming in town, I believe these Christians were doing well. I'm sure here today we have a group of people, we've all had times in our Christian life when we could say, yes, just like this, we were running our race. We were jogging our race. Maybe not even running, maybe you're just slowly walking, but you're in the race. Praise God for that. By the way, it was such a blessing to see all different age groups up here, the men that were singing, amen. Not everybody could get off the steps as fast as the other man. But praise God for these older men, and I say that with the utmost respect. Praise God for these older men that are still in the race. 95, if I'm alive, I hope to still be in the race. At 45, if I'm still alive, I hope to be in the race. I want to still be in the race. But I submit to you that Paul says there's some hindrances. The first thing that he said was there are people. Notice that word hinder. The word hinder there means to beat back. What we see from this word is a runner that is distracted. I don't know. I'm not an expert in running, but I've heard enough about running that a couple of things that are pointed out about running. Number one, never look back. You know, that's kind of a biblical term, isn't it? I think Philippians 3 says, forgetting those things which are behind. Philippians 3. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to stay in the race. If I'm going to stay in the race, I can't look back. If I look back, I'm going to be hindered. It's only natural, especially when you're a junior age boy, if you think you're in first place in the race, you want to kind of look back and see, where's everybody else? How far ahead am I? And the minute you take your eye off of the prize and you look back just like that, there goes the other guy that was just waiting for you. Just waiting for you. He said, who did hinder you? Who beat you back? That's what that word hinder means. We see a runner that has been beaten back by an obstacle or possibly even another runner. I wonder this afternoon, how many times in our race have we been distracted? I say this, Satan loves to distract and hinder God's children. Satan's looking today for someone who he can distract, who he can hinder. And by hindering, his ultimate goal is this. His ultimate goal is casualty. His ultimate goal is castaway. Turn with me quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thinking of that word hinder. Don't lose that word hinder. Beat back. A distraction. There's an obstacle in the way. Satan loves to hinder. Satan loves to distract the people of God. Satan loves to hinder God's churches. Satan loves to hinder the work of the Lord. I wrote this down as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 9. Listen to this thought. Distractions will eventually lead to defeat. Hey, distractions are in everybody's race. Right? I don't know anybody in this room that hasn't had a distraction free Christian life. You've had lots of them. I've had lots of them. But we choose to focus on the distraction. We take our eyes off the prize. When we choose to focus on the distraction, we take our eyes off of the Lord. When we choose to focus on the distraction, we become hindered. A distraction will eventually lead to defeat unless we seek God's help in removing them. Unless we seek God's help in keeping our eyes, again, Paul said, toward the mark, stay in the race. Don't get hindered by the things of this world. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, please. You're there by now. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Stay in the race. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. There's a lot of application in there, but not for today, because we got to keep moving here. Verse 27. But I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, and bring it into subjection. lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? A castaway. Paul said, I've been preaching the things of God. I've been, as he says there in verse number 27, I keep my body under subjection. I don't allow the flesh to control my life. And by the way, your flesh and my flesh is so powerful that again, even my own flesh in the spiritual sense can be something that hinders me from running well, from staying in the race. Let's go back to our text, Galatians chapter 5. Notice the word, we see the word in verse 8, this persuasion. We're thinking about the people. This persuasion. This word persuasion means deceptive. What was persuading these young believers was not right. I read in Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know, there is a world in which we live that is not filled with people, or that is filled, excuse me, with people that do not honor the book. And they are of their father the devil, and of their lust of their father they will do. I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. They are not going to try to help you and help me stay in the race. They're not going to try to help you and help me live a holy life. They're not going to try to help you and help me honor God and bring glory to God. And they're going to do the exact opposite. The Bible says there in Proverbs, they're going to entice us. They're going to tempt us. They're going to try to get us to do wrong. And Solomon said, consent thou not. Say no. Galatians, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? So we see letter A, there were people. But letter B, we see there was also a product. Look at verse number 9. A little leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. As you all know here today, leaven is yeast. And when added to bread dough, it expands and spreads. Depending on how it all happens, I'm not a baker. I love to eat baked goods. But if you're not careful and you don't do it right, I guess I've seen some of those loaves can just get so big. It doesn't take a whole lot of leaven to get the rise out of the bread dough. The Bible here is referring to false teaching. A little bit of leaven. You realize something, right? If I went down here to Aster and I told Aster a verbatim statement, and I said, I want you to repeat it to your mom, more than likely, by the time it got back there to Brother Watson, it would not be verbatim. Something would be added, something would be left out. This is why it is very careful that we, as the family of God, are very diligent about what kind of teaching we're taking in. A little leaven, a little bit of air. If I had a glass of water up here, you'd hear people say this, and I put one drop of arsenic in it, no one would drink it. Just one drop. Mostly pure water, but just one drop of poison. Notice here, the Apostle Paul says that the problem, unless stopped, was going to damage the entire church. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of false teaching affects the whole body of Christ. That's why it is so important that we are discerning with this thing called YouTube. You can find any belief you want on YouTube. Trust me. A little leaven, a little of YouTube, leaveneth the whole church. I'm not against listening to preachers on YouTube, but I'm against listening to preachers that are trying to leaven the lump away from the things of the clear teaching of the Word of God. Be very careful. Paul said, this is what Paul is saying here. You've got these Judaizers that are coming back in just a little bit. Why don't you just go back to believing in circumcision? Why don't you just go back to believing in a little bit of the law? The Judaizers taught self-justification through circumcision, but would they stop there? I say not. Paul warns that once yeast starts, it eventually works its way through the entire lump. Can I encourage you today, church, family of Christ, visitors here today, regular attenders, be careful what you are swallowing. The devil knows how to bait a hook, even if you don't. I haven't been fishing in a long time. Brother Charles and his wife are going camping. Pray that they catch a fish. They're not here, right? They're down working in junior church. He said, I've got everything ready and packed up so that we can have a fish fry. But you can't have a fish fry without fish. Pray that they catch a fish. The devil knows how to bait a hook. He knows how to make it look right. And all it takes is one bite. I won't tell you my only fish story today because it's too hot. Be careful what you are allowing into your home. Be careful what you are reading and listening to. Once we justify something that is sin, it won't be long until it spreads into every part of our life. We see those hindrances. A people and a product. Number two, we see Paul's confidence. Look at verses 10 to 12. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Again, he's kind of told him, hey, what's going on here? Your train's off the tracks. Now he's kind of bringing it back and he says, I have confidence in you. I'm not giving up. By the way, never give up on someone. You have someone in your life that you're influencing for Christ. You've invited them to come to church 453 times and they haven't come. Unless they've said, stop inviting me, invite them the 454th time. Pray, pray, pray. Stay at it. Paul said, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you quickly. Although the Galatians had been hindered in their spiritual growth, Paul had confidence that they would receive his challenge. Paul had confidence that they would receive his challenge and return to the life of grace. You know what? That's why today it would be such a blessing if some people that used to be in the race, that were a part of Anchor Baptist Church, if the Holy Spirit of God convicted them and said, you need to get back in the race. You need to get back into a Bible preaching church. And if God brought them through those doors back there, it would be such a victory and such a blessing that we would not say to them, no, you're not allowed to come in. No, we would welcome them with open arms and say, praise God, welcome back. Folks, there are people that we love dearly that were here one time, that are in your life, that maybe were passionate for Christ. Sorry, that were passionate for the fervent. That's what I was looking for. Fervent for the Lord. And right now, they're away from God. They're not living for God. Think what the Apostle Paul was going through. These were people that he had invested his life in, and they're starting to be pulled away. And he says, hang on. Hang on. I believe you're going to receive the challenge and return to a life of grace. Notice letter A, the choice of the Galatians. The choice of the Galatians. The word confidence there. The feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something to be firm, to trust. I have confidence. But notice where Paul's confidence came from. Through the Lord. Where's your confidence today? If it's in anyone but the Lord, you're going to be disappointed. But if it's in the Lord, Jesus never fails. Jesus will never disappoint you. Put your confidence in Him. Paul says, my confidence in you through Christ. We know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Quickly, in 2 Thessalonians 3:4, Paul writes there, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." That we have confidence in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a revival of confidence, not in man, but we need a revival of confidence in the Lord. To stay in this race, make sure your confidence is in the Lord. Also, that's where my confidence is. But notice letter B, we see the offense of the cross. The offense of the cross. Paul gives two examples regarding the cross being supreme and sufficient. First, he mentions that if he were still preaching circumcision, then why was he being persecuted for his message in life? Well, we know the obvious answer is he was not preaching circumcision. On his first missionary journey, he established these very churches in Galatia. And it was in this journey that Paul was stoned. He was stoned for his preaching. You know, not everyone is going to stand up and applaud you in your race. Not everyone is going to cheer for you in your race. Some people are going to jeer you in your race. Some people are going to mock us in our race. But I say my confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is not in your cheering or your jeering. My confidence is in the Lord. And then secondly, Paul mentions that if the cross was no longer offensive, then it wouldn't still be under attack. Again, we're now 2018. Could you not see that the cross is still under attack? I was listening to a service this morning online, a live stream service. It was mentioned in that live stream service, I won't give all the details, but a young man wanted to give a speech at his public school. He had been awarded something. I don't remember exactly what all he'd been awarded, but he wanted to give a speech. And in his speech, he was going to be mentioning something about Jesus. He was told, "You can say everything in your speech, but you can't say Jesus." He said, "Then I won't be giving a speech." 17 years old. "Then I won't be giving a speech." You know, the Bible says that the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Folks, we are not living in a day where the cross is going to be greatly accepted by the world. But let us today as believers have our confidence in Christ, and let us continue to preach Christ crucified, Christ buried, and Christ risen again. For it is in that gospel message that a life can be dramatically changed. The cross. Then lastly, number three. I'm trying to speed up a little bit. I know it's warm, but I really want to get all of this to you. Number three, we see a faithful mission. A faithful mission. Thank you for listening. The Apostle Paul had a specific reason for the Galatian Christians to stay in the race. It wasn't just stay in your race so that you can, at the end, say, "I finished my race. Good job, me." Oh, there was a purpose for it. By the way, God saved you and me for a purpose. It wasn't just to come to church, although, praise God, be in church. God saved us for a purpose. Letter A, we see a calling in verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Because of salvation, I am called to a life of liberty." The word "occasion" there means a place from which a movement or attack is made, a base of operations. Let's read it again now. "For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." In other words, we don't get saved by grace and then say, "Now I can live my life in liberty. I can live my life freely however I want." That's not why God saved you, and that's not why God saved me. He saved me to live according to His Word, and I have the freedom to choose to do what is right and follow His Word. The liberty that we are called to is not liberty that leads to a life of sin. Let me read something quickly to you if you want to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 16, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness." I just closed my Bible. Maybe God's telling me something. But as the servants of God, don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, he's saying here, Peter is saying, don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Well, I have the freedom to live this way. No, I have the freedom to do right. I have the freedom to honor God. A calling. But then let's see quickly that purpose, letter B. We see that in verses 13 and 14. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of being in the race? What is the purpose of living for God? Number one, we see in verse 13, at the end of verse 13, but by love serve one another. The first purpose is to serve. The best way for you to stay in the race is not just to run your race and just it's all about you, but while you're running your race, how can you serve others? Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this our motto be. Secondly, purpose for the race is not just serve, but we read in verse 14, for all the flesh is fulfilled, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. The word love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second purpose of being in the race is not only to serve, but secondly, the purpose is to love. Amy Carmichael said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. 1 John 3:16 to 18, you can jot that reference down and you can read there about the love of God. We're in this race. It's not just about number one. The purpose of being in this race, I've got to stay in this race to serve. I've got to stay in this race to love. And then lastly, number three, I've got to stay in this race, verse 15, to preserve. To preserve. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. It is not our job to try and run other Christians out of the race. You're not running fast enough. Why don't you sit down? No. We need every runner in the race. We need every Christian in the race. In other words, I should be looking for those in the race that I can help. As we said in these other previous verses, Acts 20 and 29 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I'm reminded of the comic strip Charlie Brown, Peanuts. You've probably read a few of those in your life. One of them, Lucy, says to Charlie Brown, I would have made a great evangelist. We're not promoting female evangelists, but that's what the Peanuts were saying, you know. Charlie Brown said, well, is that so, Lucy? How is that? She said, yes, I convinced that boy in front of me in school that my religion is better than his. Charlie Brown said, well, how did you do that? Lucy said, I hit him over the head with my lunchbox, and he believed me. Bible says in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another. You know, our main tool for reaching people without Christ, our main tool for helping the family of God is not beating over the head with a lunchbox. It's loving them as we've been loved. It's staying in the race. It's serving. It's giving. Christian race is difficult enough. Let's not today be part of the reason why someone else leaves the race. You did run well. I think many of us here this afternoon at one point in our life, we were running the Christian life as close as we could to the way we should be. And I'm not saying that you're not today. I'm just saying we must stay in the race. The generations coming behind us, they need to see some Christian runners that might be tired. They might have some injuries. They might have fallen. You know, when you fall in a race on those tracks, I've seen some races where people have fallen. does a number on their legs, doesn't it? Look, everyone in this room, we haven't run a perfect race. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. You might be laying down in your race this afternoon, and your wounds might be very evident. The balm of Gilead can help patch those wounds up. Don't allow the enemy to hold you down any longer. Wherever you're at in your race, you might have bloody knees. You might have bloody elbows. You must stay in the race. God is worthy of us staying in the race. He gets all the glory for us staying in the race.